Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is once more and again that God has decided to allow us to come together on Wednesday night with Inspirational Wednesday Night through the Words of Wisdom. I am your host, Diane Adams, and it is always a privilege and an honor to stand before you as we explore the Word of God together. I pray that each and every one of you had a wonderful week and that you were able to hold on to the confession of your faith. I know that plenty of you, because it's just the way of the world, maybe had a lot of trials and tribulations to deal with. But I want to let you know that God is faithful, he's able, and he's willing to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think through Christ Jesus and by the power that he has invested in each one of us. So as we get ready to explore the word together tonight, I pray that you come with a spirit of expectancy. I pray that and hope that you have prayed for the Holy Ghost to allow his word not to return void and that you will receive something that you wanted to receive. Because as always, I only give information, but the Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation. I just want to say thanks to each and every one of you. I thank God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost for allowing me and giving me this opportunity to come before his people. I'm not coming as a perfect person or a perfect vessel, but I'm willing to do what God has given me to do. So we're going to go ahead, and I want to tell everybody the lesson for tonight, the title of it is Your Imagination Can Cause You Pain, and It Don't Always Deal with the Facts. We're going to come from the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 2 through 5. And I see that I have a light. Some lights are on in the studio, and I believe they may want to pray. So I'm gonna press this one, and we'll go to God in prayer, and then we'll go on with the lesson. So Madison, are you on the line? Hello, Madison, are you on the line? Okay, I didn't get him right then, but let me try this number. Caller, your number is 504-621-8989. You can speak at this time. Caller, your number is 504-621-8989. 9-8. May have been an error. So I'm going to go back. Madison? Are you on the line? Let me try another one. Madison?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You on the line?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so. You said yes, huh? You want to pray for us tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want to say anything to the people before you pray?
Yes, I hope you like the lesson.
So if you want, you could go ahead and pray.
Well, it's Wednesday at 8:34 right now. We're just about to learn about you, with songs written for you. That is another way of praising you. And thank you for being with us and creating the Bible so we can listen to these interesting stories about your life and what your son did. Thank you. And I hope you open up our ears and our minds so we can think about what the lesson means and what it's saying, that we can understand and go tell people about the lesson right now, which God would like us to do, spreading the word all across the world. And I want to say, God, just thank you for allowing me to wake up so I can pray at 8:35 right now, just praying that you'll be with us while we're learning about you, bringing it closer to you, and that when we go to heaven, we can ask you all the questions we ever want to ask. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Madison, I want to thank you so much for that beautiful prayer. I want you to stay encouraged because God has something for all of us to do, and even you. And you should hold on to the word that you receive all the days of your life. And God said he promised that you will never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you keep holding on and learning of God and getting as much knowledge as you can. But when you receive the knowledge, you have to do what it says to please God. I thank you. I'm proud of you. And thank you for calling in tonight. God bless you, Madison Andrew Chambers. Thank you. Would you like to say anything else? Hello?
Yes.
You must speak on. Would you like to say anything else?
No, ma'am.
Well, have a great night and have a great night's sleep and do well in school on tomorrow.
Thank you.
Good night.
Right.
Thank you. I have a caller. The number is 621-8957. The button is pressed. I don't know if it's an error, so I'm going to try one more time, and we're going to go into the lesson. So if your number is 504-621-98, I don't want to call your last two numbers. Your button is pressed, so I want to know if you have anything to say tonight. You can do it at this time. So we're going to assume that the bus was pressed in error. So we're going to go ahead and do a short song, and we're going to go into the lesson. The name of this song is I Trust You. We have to learn to trust the Lord.
In you, oh, I it's you I choose. It's because of you I made, Lord, I made it through. Oh, I trust you, Lord. Oh, I trust. I trust you, Lord.
Where we trust God no matter what's going on. In that song, she say, win or lose, I trust you. We have to give it all to God and let him have his way and just rely and wait on him with patience and see the hand of God work in all of our lives. You know, one of us is trusting God for one thing and someone else is trusting God for something else. But you see, God is able to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. There's nothing that you could be trusting God for that he don't have and that he's not willing and able to give to you. But you got to go to him. You got to get in position. You got to be doing the things that he asks us to do. When Jesus died and a will was open, everything in the will of God that was for all of us is there. Sometimes you don't even ask for the things of God because you don't realize that the will was open and you are included in the will. They tell us that we are heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. We was adopted in, but we have all legal rights. He said that he's our heavenly Father and we are his children. So we must lean and trust and hold on to God's unchanging hand. So as we get ready to go into the lesson tonight, we in 2 Corinthians. The book of Corinthians is a book that is written in the New Testament. It was written by the Apostle Paul, who also wrote 12 other letters, which they call epistles. The book of Corinthians was written to the church in Corinth. The people who lived in Corinth were called Corinthians. Just like we live in New Orleans, we are New Orleans. When you look at the Word of God and you see the book of Philippians, that was the people who lived in Philippi and they had established a church after Pentecost and they had their church. Paul had to write these letters to the different churches because some of them and most of them was dealing in error in the church. Corinthians was one of the worst ones there ever was. You go back and read it because I don't have time to give it all to you. But Corinthians just dabbled and did anything that they thought they were big and bad enough to do it. You see, there were people, the church of Corinth was corrupt. It was immoral. It worshiped idol gods. It had a lot of sexual perversion going on. And they even corrupted the word of God. And that's just to name a few. Paul wrote this letter to straighten up things out in the Lester scriptures we're going to look at tonight. It's just one little aspect of it. Read it for yourself. You see, 2 Corinthians 10, 3rd through the 5th verse. And the scripture reads as follows. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination. That's what the word say. We have to cast down our imagination because our imagination will play tricks on us. It say casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And it tell you when you cast it down, what you do? You bring your mind into captivity, every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Hello?
I had a problem with the phone, but now I have another phone. Can anybody, one person, press a one on their phone? Can another person press a one on their phone? Okay, I know that you guys can hear me. The phone just went dead, but the Holy Ghost instructed me to put two lines open. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, that's what the scripture reads. Now, what am I saying? They say, though for we walk in the flesh. The scripture is saying, even though we walk, when they say the word walk, which means to live in the body, a live in your in the body, which is flesh. Even though we are in a body of flesh, we my hypnosis is happening. I'm sorry, guys. Let me straighten this out, and I'll be right back. But you please stay on.
Hallelujah. I think we got it. I don't know why the echo is on the phone. But the scripture is saying, even though we walk, which means to live in the body.
We do not war, which means to fight according to the flesh, which is the word of God. Can y'all please do this? Both of these phones have echoes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to close the line out. And you guys call back in about 5 minutes. Please do this for me. And if maybe we'll get the line straight. So I'm going to hang up. And you guys hang up and call right back. Thank you.
Hello? Hello? If anybody can hear me, please press the one button on your phone. Satan, you're a lie. Satan, you're a liar. Hello? If someone's on the line, would they please press the one button? 228-493. If you could hear me, press the one button, please. Thank you. The callers are calling back in. Praise be to God. Okay, so it won't be so late. I'm going to go ahead on into the lesson. And as the callers come in, they'll come in. But what I was saying is, the scriptures are saying that even though we walk, which means to live in this body, which is flesh, we do not war, which means to fight, according to the flesh. You see, the flesh is the world's and man's standards. You see, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So we shouldn't use the things of the world to fight our battles. The scripture is letting us know that there is a war going on, and the war is between our flesh and our spirit. You see, as long as we live in a body, which is our flesh, the flesh will crave fleshly things. You see, sin dwells in the flesh, but the spirit will yearn for the things of God, which are spiritual. You see, this war is actively taking place every second of our lives in our mind, and we know that this war is fought in our minds. The scripture says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our mind is what directs and controls us. Our mind is either talking us into doing something or talking us out of doing something. You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs 23:7 says, so as a man thinketh, so is he. You see, we have to realize we are what we think. And the way that we think can either help us or hurt us. We cannot allow our thoughts to be governed by Satan, a man's standard, which is the world's standards. Because then we will only be concerned with the desires of the flesh, only satisfying our want appetite. If we do this, we will definitely lose the war. You see, Romans 1:28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And I want to tell you, that's a position no one should want to be in. Because you see, and when you get a reprobate mind, and what it does is to do those things which are not proper. As we see in this verse, we just read, people who are classified as having a reprobate mind have some knowledge of God and perhaps know his commandments. However, they live impure lives and have very little desire to please God. You see, that's what's happening in our world today. When we see our young boys on the street, when people could come around and kill you and don't think nothing about it, they're turned over to a reprobate mind. It's almost like you want to do it your way so much to God, decide to say, okay, have your way. He just, like, release you and let you have your way. Because everything you think about is evil. You see, those who have reprobate minds live corrupt and selfish lives. I don't know if you know anybody like that. And no matter how dirty they get, no matter, and I don't mean dirty, physically dirty, dirty in their actions, they still try to figure out ways to get dirtier. You see, sin is justified and accepted to them. You know, they make excuses. They believe, you know, their mind is turned over to a reprobate mind. So, you know, there's no, with a reprobate mind, there's no conviction. And there's no inkling of making you feel bad in your heart for what you did. You know how sometimes you say something about somebody or you say something to somebody and you wish you could erase it, but you can't? You know, that's what happens with us because we God-fearing and we have God in our lives and we still have a desire to please him. But a person with a reprobate mind have no conviction, have no godly conscience, and that is happening in our world today. You see, the reprobated are those whom God has rejected and has left them to their own demise. You see, Satan can only operate in your mind. Let's get that straight. Satan cannot make you sick. He cannot cut your leg off. He cannot make your car drive into a building. He can only put the thought in your mind. He messes with your thoughts and tries to control your actions, and he's always out to tarnish your character. Okay, you say you think that's true? Every time we look at the news, we see all of our leaders, you know, and even church leaders and different people that has got allowed Satan to put some not so righteous thought in their mind, but they allowed it to stay there. You know, you got to remember Satan's powers are limited and he can only do what God allows him to do. You see, if Satan could do more than just playing tricks in your mind, he most certainly would. If Satan could kill you, you would have been dead long ago. I don't know about you, but you know when we was living in our trespasses of our sins, doing what we thought we was big and bad enough to do, believing that we were self-made people and that we was making it up as we go and we wasn't lining it up with the word of God. We knew God. You know, we said we love God, but we might or not was trying to totally please God. So, you know, when we was in the street or when we was, you know, doing all kind of things that we shouldn't have did. If Satan could have got you, he would have got you then. You know, and I tell him all the time, if you ain't get me then, you know, too late now. You see, Satan only plants the thought and hope that you receive it and allow it to become your perception. And before you know it, if you didn't accept the perception, you done dealt with the perception that Satan has given you, you done toyed around with it, you let it stay so long and you dealt with it so long till it becomes your reality. And the Bible teaches us that so as a man thinks, so he will become. You see, Satan have a way of making everything that is good look bad and everything that is bad look good. Look around the world that we live in today. Anything and everything goes, and people are accepting it more and more each day. Christians are compromising their faith. They're walking around with little power. You know, they dibbling and dabbling, and they say it's all right. You know, God is a forgiving God. God is a faithful God. But God, the wrath of God, you don't want it to come on you. And God said he cannot ignore sin. So if we got these things in our lives, and we you know, like me, I'm working on it. You know, and I ask God to help me daily with things that I don't think please God that's in my life because I do inventory of myself. But the point is, God is slow to anger. But it ain't like he don't see it. It ain't like he don't know it. And it ain't like he's pleased with it. You see, we are the chosen people of God, and we should be transforming the world to the things of God. But, oh, the world is conforming us to his standards. The world, you know, God established the church, and God chose a chosen nation so he could see all the other nations and the people of the world, how he is and what he do with his people. And he gave us standards for how he want us to represent him. You know, you might have a husband, and your husband has certain ideas and rules and regulations, and you know, you have to live up a certain standard because you don't want to make him shame or make her shame, you know, and things like that. So what more do your Heavenly Father expect from you? You see, Satan is taking this war seriously. Satan don't take no times out. He don't take no vacations. He don't take no leaves of absence. He's steadily on his job, seeking whom he may devour. And he's doing everything in his limited power to find the battles that he think he can win. But we have the victory in Christ Jesus. But you have to keep your mind stayed on him. You see, Satan is our enemy and a thief. And the scripture in John 10:10 says, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill. There's nothing good that Satan will ever have for you. But you see, when he get in your mind, he start making you think it could be good. He start playing his tricks, and you know, you might not be worded up, you might not be prayed up, you might, you know, be feeling down and out and saying, what difference do it make? You know, you might be sick, you might be broke, you know, you might be in despair, and you wondering if something happened, and you wonder why God allowed it to happen, and that's when he'll put his attack on you, and he'll start putting it there, and then you'll have it in your mind, and you might think, oh, it's not so bad. Oh, God will forgive me. Oh, this or oh, that. But you got to remember, Satan will bring you to the water, and he'll let you drink, and then he'll walk away from you. Satan set you up, and when all hell break loose, when you hit rock bottom, when you have nowhere else to go but to look up to God, you see, Satan does all he can. He gets your sins exposed. He puts you out there on Jump Street, and then he walk away. Look at it. Look at them politicians on the TV, and when they take the money and the bribes, and then when they was doing it, Satan was right there with them, and they might have gotten more money, more prestige, and then the sin was exposed and not in penitentiary. But you got to remember flesh. You see, our flesh is where sin dwells. That's why when Jesus Christ come back again for us, the first thing he's going to do is take off the corruptible, which is the flesh. And he's going to give us an incorruptible body, which is going to be spirit. Because, you see, sin is going to dwell in his flesh. So, yes, we will make mistakes. Yes, we're going to fall short of the glory of God till we get out of this flesh. But we can do the best that we can with what God has given us. And have our mind fixed on Jesus Christ, because our mind will get us in trouble. You see, flesh in and of itself is not the problem. We need flesh to dwell on the earth. Jesus needed flesh to come to be the Savior and to die as a sacrifice for man. So flesh in itself is not the problem, but it's what you allow your flesh to be a part of. You know, I don't know what you do, you know, but you do. So do an inventory check on you. And if you're not checking yourself, you might go around for a long time thinking everything is all right. And when you check yourself, don't line yourself up with your neighbor. You know, because I hear plenty of people say, well, you know, that man, he still do A, B, C, D, E. But I only just do A, B, C. You know, so you might get a sense of, of pride, and you might get a sense that you're bad. You evidently feel you're better than him, but you might, you know, start thinking you're all right, but you still got some work to do. But when you get ready to inspect yourself, line it up with the Word of God, line it up with the way that Jesus Christ walked on this earth. Jesus came and walked on this earth so he could give us an example how to do it, how to live, how to give, how to love, how to forgive. You know, use those things to examine yourself. You see, we must learn to control our mind because, let me tell you this, we will either be doing things of the flesh or we will be doing things, because no man can serve two masters. And God said, I don't even like that lukewarm. He said, you're either hot or you're cold. You can't serve two masters, because either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. But the word of God tells us, choose this day which side you are willing to fight on. You know, can you say you're in a battlefield for the Lord? If you're in a battlefield for the Lord, you could think about some things that you must do. See, when my grandson said we get the word and we go share it, because that's what God want to do. You see, that's fighting. We're not using the carnal weapons that was in a verse. They say, because our weapons are not carnal. You see, you know, we will be using the weapons of the spirit when we do these kind of things. But you see, we in the arm, and we don't even know what our duty is, because if we don't read the word of God. And you know, I can say this about myself. You know, there's a lot of the word of God that I know that I haven't been able to achieve and do it all, but I'm constantly pressing. I know it's there, and I'm trying to work on it day by day. But if you don't know what it is and you're not doing inventory of yourself, you could go on and on and on and just be like you are. Choose this day what side you're going to be willing to fight on. Stop straddling the fence and stand up for what is right. Stop compromising your faith by trying to mix flesh spirit. Hallelujah. That's deep. Compromising your faith by trying to mix the flesh with the spirit. The scripture in John 3 and 6, I know I have a lot of you that's writing. John 3 and 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You see, carnal in this scripture means earthly weapons, man's standard, or God, or the world, which means flesh. It's saying you're either using the things of the earth, or you're using things of man's, you're using man's staff, man's standard that's established here on earth, are you doing and just answering to the appetite of the flesh? And you see, because sin dwells in the flesh. But you see, the weapons of this world, watch this, the weapons of this world are lies, lust, deception, greed, pride, thinking more of yourself than you should, using the blame game, because it's always somebody else's fault or problem, gluttony, slothfulness, and anger. And that's just to name a few. You see, that's the weapons that the world uses. Because you see, if you catch somebody doing something, the first thing they're going to do is tell you a lie. See, that's the weapon that the world uses. You know, and we are taught to not lie. You see, and the other, you know, another weapon of the world, you know, pride. The Bible teaches us we could be prideful if we want, but there's always destruction after pride. And anger. Every time somebody tell you something, you got to fly off the handle. You know, when we did the Beatitudes told us about being meek, that we could inherit the kingdom of God. And, you know, the world standards tell you that if you're weak, you beat. But God tell us that if we weak, that strength under control. So we got to know the differences. We got to know. You see, don't let Satan make you think that you have won the battle to wake up and realize that you done lost the war. Come on now, y'all know about that. Plenty of people thinking that, you know, when they going around stealing, taking, robbing, shooting, killing, they believe they winning the war. But they're going to wake up and they're going to see they lost the battle. You see, we're not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go. God has equipped us with mighty weapons, and they are always available to us. You see, God has given us the truth. You know, the truth say, the truth, what the Bible say about the truth will make you free. You know, if you tell a truth, you don't have to say nothing else. You tell a lie, you got to keep making more. But he has given us the truth that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. So even though we live in this world, we know that the victory is ours. So we set our sights on things that's eternal. You know, how would it be to live in this world and not have no hope for once we close our eyes and die? God say, I have a better way for you. He's saying, if you do the things that I ask you to do, you're going to live in the kingdom of God right here on earth, which is only preparing you, and it's a foretaste of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. But you see, we have mighty weapons, and we just talked about truth, and you got righteousness, and you got peace, peace in the midst of the storm. Yeah, you should be concerned about the things going on, the children getting killed. You know, and even though you are concerned with it all, you have peace because you know that God is going to make a way for you out of no way. That God said, yes, all of these weapons, he's talking about the weapons that they use, the carnal weapons. They may come up against you, but they're not going to prosper. See, and that's where the peace come in. And then you walk in faith, not by sight, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence to see. Then you know you got your salvation. That's a weapon you have that should anoint your heart, your mind, your body, and soul to understand I have salvation. And nothing can take it away. The scriptures, the Bible say that even the devil in hell can't pluck you out of my hand. No heights, no depths, no nothing in between going to separate you from the love of God. God say, I'll never leave you and forsake you. You see, that's our weapons. And you see, we have the word of God. And it allows us to come to him, and he allows us to come to him in prayer. You see, God has given us a full armor. So we can take a stand against the devil's scheme. And God said, oh yeah, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always near. You know, sometime in your life, it feel like you're not feeling God in your life, and you think that God has separated from you. But God said, no, I ain't separate from you. You done separated from me. But I'm a still stand right here. So when you turn around, we'll be face to face. Hallelujah. You see, the scripture also talked about the word strongholds. You see, strongholds is only found in this one scripture in the New Testament. A stronghold is described as a wall or a fortress that has plagued our mind from the beginning of time. You see, once sin entered the world, the strongholds began, and it's almost like they're building a fortress in our mind, and that's why our thinking is sometimes so twisted. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, I might know it's wrong, but that's the way I was taught. That's the way my daddy did it. That's the way my mama did it. Because you see that perception, Satan had put those strongholds, and they're building up a wall and a fortress, and sometimes it's been there too long until you've just accepted it, and it's your perception and it's your reality. But your reality is only good for you, and it doesn't make it true. All right. You see, a stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern based on lies, deception, fear, anxiety, loneliness, just to name a few. You see, deception is the primary weapon of the devil, and it is the building block that creates the wall. You will never amount to anything, you've been told maybe in your life. No one will ever love you, you may have been told. You were saved, but because of the things you're doing, you're not saved anymore. Lies. You see, strongholds can keep you from being one of God's best. Satan will plant fear, which is the evidence that may appear to be real. I'm going to say that one again because I want you to catch it. Fear is the evidence of something that may appear to be real. How many times you got a phone call and they gave you some information and they gave it to you that it in a bad way, or you just know something happened, you immediately start thinking of words. You know, and then you done brought yourself through all of those anxieties, you know, you done put a little scar on your heart, you know, you're hyperventilating, you done did all that, and then when a real report, because the lessons say, you know, your imagination will cause you pain, and it don't always deal with the facts. But then you get the real facts in the house, and then you see it's not as bad as it was. Satan will plant fear, which is the evidence which may appear to be real, which is different from concern. You're supposed to be concerned, but you don't have to walk in fear because God said, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. We got to use the word of God and line our mind and our imagination up with it. You know, there have been times in my life I got a report, and the report was really bad. But you know what I said? I used the word of God as the confidence, and I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you anyhow. And the outcome might have not came out to what I wanted, but I bet you I had peace. I bet you I had peace. You have to put the word of God on those fears and anxieties and worries and on your finance and your health and your wealth and your everything else. You see, don't allow Satan to make you panic. And if you have to panic, never panic until it's time. Stop all of that pre-panicking mode because it's not doing you any good. And when you go with that pre-panicking mood, he say, I got you, and then he build up another, he put another building block on that wall. You see, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. A serious stronghold is our imagination. You see, imagination is the act or power of forming mental images of what is not actually present or may never be experienced. I'm going to read that again. A serious stronghold is our imagination. That's why the scriptures say, cast down imagination and anything that exalts itself against the word of God. You see, strongholds can keep you from being one of God's best. Satan will plant fear, which is the evidence of something that may appear to be real, which is different from concern. You see, a serious stronghold is our imagination. Imagination is an act or power of forming mental images of what is not actually present or may never be experienced. We must ask God to give us the spirit of discernment to keep our thoughts focused on His truth and His knowledge. God knowledge in the word of God provides us evidence that we should that should help us to control our thoughts and our imagination. We must learn how to wait on God, trust God, because if He said it, it will come to pass, and you can believe it. If your thoughts and imagination do not line up with the word of God, run from it. Y'all know what come in y'all mind. And you see that old nature, that old man that lived inside of you before you met Jesus Christ and became a new creature? That old man like to stick his ugly head up every chance he get. And you'll wonder why some of the things you used to do that you don't do no more, why they keep coming back, because Satan believed that if you did it then, he could get you again. Because remember, his power is limited. But you see, if your thoughts and imagination do not line up with the word of God, run from it. Cast it down immediately. Because if you allow it to have free space in your head, it will be harder to evict. The longer you let it stay there, the longer it wants to stay there. And the longer you let it stay there, the more comfortable you get with it. And then your thoughts going to think they have squatter's rights. Come on now. Have you ever let your thoughts and imagination run wild and far that you no longer know who you are? You wake up one morning and say, how did I get here? I'm doing things that I never thought I would. Paul in the Bible, as strong as he was in the word, says every time I try to do good, evil is always present. Just let you know, Satan ain't going to let up. He ain't letting up on Paul. So what you think he'll do for you? When you align your imagination up with your faith, Come on now. You have to align your imagination up with your faith, using the word of God as the compass. And that's how you win the war. I'm going to give you two little examples. I got 8 minutes. I'm going to go through this fast. I'm going to give you an example of someone who allowed their imagination to run away from them. If we look at Adam and Eve, Satan told Eve a lie. So, you see, that's his weapon he has, right? Satan told Eve a lie. She allows her imagination to get the best of her. Because, you see, your imagination is the act or power of creating mental images of what has never been actually experienced. You see, he was telling her that she would be just like God. She don't know that she could be just like God, but her imagination told her maybe he is telling the truth because he told a lie, and she began to believe it. You see, she could have cast down her imagination and then lined it up with what God had told him. God told her what to do. But you see, your imagination start putting other stuff in the game. She could have lined it up with what God told her to do, but she didn't. She took the devil's perception in her mind. She accepted it as real and good. So she ate some and gave some to Adam. And the rest is history. You see, that was when, you know, you allowed your mind to play tricks on you. And she took the lies of Satan. Satan is giving us lies all the time. You look so good, you could have any woman you want. And then you're trying to, you know, have them all. And then you wake up and you're old. They ain't going to want you now. Maybe, maybe not. I'm going to get off that. But I was just trying to give examples, not talking about any specific person or any gender. But I was using an example. And then I'm going to give you another one that used imagination in the right way. You know, there was the Hebrew boys who refused to do what the king wanted them to do. But the king had loved them because he liked their style and he liked the way they worshiped their God. But the people pushed the king up to say, you know, that these boys was bowing down to the king, and I mean bowing down to their God, and they can't bow down to nobody else but the king, so they needed them to bow down to the king, but they refused. And you know, I'm saying that the king liked them because if you read the story, you'll see the king liked them so much, he said, man, won't y'all just bow down? The king was sad he even made that decree, but it was done, and he had to go through it. He said, man, won't y'all bow down? You know, he was begging them almost to bow. Like, just bow, like it don't mean nothing. But to them, you know, they didn't want to do it. So the king came to him another way. The king told him, he said, how you know your God is going to show up? How you know your God is going to show up? But the Hebrews boys told him before they went in. You see, the Hebrew boys used everything they knew about God, his faithfulness, his power, his might, his goodness, what he had did for others in the past and what he had did for them. See, you got to call that up together when you want to try to let your mind play tricks on you. You have to use, you know, when a situation come up with you, you have to say, well, you know, this ain't the first situation. God brought me through every other situation. He's able to bring me through this one. You have to use your imagination and line it up with the word of God so that your imagination could become pure and you could protect your mind and your heart and your spirit and line it up with the word of God. That's going to give you the success, because if you allow Satan perception and you take it, it's only going to give you defeat. You see, so he told the Hebrew boys this and that. And so the Hebrew boys told him, say, let me tell you something, King. He said, my God, I believe my God could do everything because of the evidence that God had provided for them, you know, over and in their lives and for the nation of Israel and for his people and Abraham and, you know, all of these things. He said, I believe from the evidence that God has already shown me and that I know about him. He said, and I know, they say, we know he could do anything that he wants, for who he wants, when he wants, how he wants. He said, but I tell you what, he said, we going in here and we don't know if God's going to deliver us because that may not be his will. We don't know that he will deliver us, but we know that he can. And they walked into the fiery furnace. Come on now. And when the king looked in there, should have seen three, he saw four. You see, I'm talking about the power of God and not letting your imagination bring you to places God don't want you to be and make you weak and have you coming in fear. And the Hebrew boys used their imagination. And they used their spiritual weapon. They mixed it up with their faith. And they stepped in. You see, there's only two ways that humans can see something. You can see things with your physical eyes or your imagination. All human progress has been born out of the imagination to see things differently. Imagination, if used for righteousness' sake, is a good thing. But when you allow your imagination to take over and to go to places that seem right and you bind to it, that's when the danger comes. You're in a danger zone. You see, God always provides us evidence of the power, his faithfulness, his mercy, and his grace. And we must use our faith to guide our imagination. And I'm going to close with this. Without an imagination, how could we see God in our mind? Or read the word of God about the rapture and see Jesus coming in the air? How could we see the pearly gates or the street paved in gold? How could we see the Red Sea being divided into two and the children of Israel walking through, and soon as the Egyptian came in, they closed in? How could we imagine that? How could we imagine the suffering of Christ and then see his resurrected body? Here we see that our imagination is needed. But don't allow your mind to play tricks on you. John 20 and 29 says, this was Jesus and he was teaching. And this was after Jesus was resurrected and he was talking to the disciples. And you know he had one named Thomas, and Thomas doubt. You know, that's why we call it doubting Thomas. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those that has not seen and yet believe. That's beautiful. We use our imagination to compass our faith and believe with the evidence that God has already provided. Think on things that are lovely, the Bible says. Think on things that are pure. Think on things that are a good report. It's amazing, but right now it's 9:30. We didn't go over time. God showed up and showed off. You couldn't comprehend, you know, the battles that was going on in the studio. But I can, and I thank him for it. It is now, like I say, 9:30. And what we can do and what we should do, and I want to let y'all know the lines, when the people hung up and called back, I have more callers now than when we started. God is a good God. You see, because Satan told me, you know, real quickly, because you got to do it quick, you know, I'll catch him. When the lines got crazy, he said, oh, hang up and just start again next week. You know, and they told me, you know, you're not going to get it right, but you got to press. And y'all got to realize, and I tell y'all all the time, I only give information. The Holy Ghost got to give illumination and also revelation. And this is not about me. It's about God. When God gives you something to do, he also makes the provisions. And that's our program for tonight. And if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. I have a caller that pressed the button, 228-493-80. Your line is now open. 228-493. Did you want to speak?
Yes, I would like to thank everyone for praying for me. God is answering prayers. because I feel really good. I just wanted to thank everyone for praying for me. This is Jeanette, Diane's sister. And I just wanted to give a shout out to all those who've been praying for me, because I appreciate it very much.
And I just want to say thank you, sister, for giving a shout out. Would anyone else like to say anything? If not, we're going to go into the prayer. So when people start hanging up, they could have the benediction prayer. So here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the lesson tonight, dear God. Thank you for Holy Ghost for sitting right here in the room and just orchestrating the studio, dear God. Thank you for blocking all of the schemes of the devil. You know, they say he have the darts that he throw in, you know, but God told us in a word tonight that he gave us a full armor. So, you know, I had on my shield and the darts had to go another way. And I say thank you, dear God. Lord, I give you for you. Thank you for your word. And I thank you for letting me know that through you all things are possible. I thank you for each call, and I thank you for deliverance, and I thank you for healing that's been going through and to the people who have been calling and asking for prayers, dear God. I thank you, dear God. I thank you, dear God, that you're going to go before us and you're going to be behind us, and your word is not going to return void, and you're going to give us illumination and revelation, and we're going to use this to grow stronger in your grace. You know, the word say, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Lord, we love you. We can't make it without you. And we just want to say thank you. And Heavenly Father, if it's your will, we'll be back on next week. If thus said the Lord, we will be back. I have a caller. Caller, your number is 985-774-71. You can speak at this time.
I just want to thank you for tonight. I really enjoyed it. what I'm seeing when I start worrying, when I'm upset, maybe if I wrote a list of things that God touched me in the past, and just keep it before me. So when I do go to the point in my head that I am worrying, you know, that maybe if I read that list, that's what I'm thinking, that maybe I need to make that list of every time he touched me, and I know he did, and what he did for me, maybe it would bring me back to the right part of my mind with Jesus Christ.
It would definitely help. God said use everything he has given us. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I talk about, inspecting ourselves and taking inventory. You know, that list was, you would be taking inventory, and that's a great thing. And you put it before you, and you'll see, you know, when something come up against you, like you said, you know, he done did it before, he could do it again.
Right.
So I think that would be really a good thing to do. And you know, once you do that, you know, the Holy Ghost going to see that, and he's going to work with that. And, you know, it's just going to be exciting. I could tell you that. You know, I could imagine it's going to be very exciting. So I encourage you to definitely do that.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your program.
Thank you, darling. Anybody else would like to say anything? If not, I'm going to just go ahead and put on a record. And I just wanted y'all to be in a prep because, you know, some people don't want to hear the music. And I don't want you to not be in a prep. So the class lesson is over for tonight, but we will play some music. And this record is I Trust You, Lord. I think I played that coming in. I don't remember. But I'm going to play something. It's your season, you know, things happen in season. So this record is saying season. And just enjoy it. I thank each and every one for coming and calling in tonight. I want you to know that God loves you and so do I. I want you to know that God is willing and able to do anything and everything exceedingly and above all that you could ever think and ask. Trust him. God got everything. God got all power in his hand, and he's waiting to give it to you. God loves you more than you could even imagine. God loves you more than you love yourself. Hold on to God, people. Hold on. Let the word of God be your compass.
It's time to come into your own. See, walk into your sea.
I know that you invested a lot. The return has been slow. You throw up your hands and say, I give up. I just can't take it anymore. But I hear the Spirit saying that it's your time. The way it is over. It's over. It's God's time. You know it's the way. The way
it's over.
The sun's about to
our program for tonight. I pray that God be with you until we meet again. God loves you, and so do I. If God say the same, see you back next Wednesday, same time, same station. Good night.